This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Well, the end of August is here, August 31st. Welcome into This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm, brought to you by Amazon.com and Audible.com. And of course, you can check out over 40 podcasts and more to come on lineupmedia.fm, including our big friends at Surreal Talk, which Armand, my co-host, is often a guest on, because we have some Surreal Talk historical events today.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Well, let's get... Well, wait a minute. We have
yesterday... No, we have some housekeeping to do from yesterday.
Cleaning up to do.
Because Armand and I, more so Armand, folks, strive for exactitude.
Yeah, you...
And we had a...
You strive for the semblance of exactitude.
I try to get in the ballpark, Armand, and I'm going to be honest. It's what I do. I try to get in the ballpark and move on. But Cleopatra...
I did find another source that said she died on August
30th. Yes, and I kept coming up with sources for August 12th.
Well, your now, sources are incorrect.
Can we chalk that up to the calendars changing?
I didn't see any. I don't know. I don't see why. I don't know how that can have anything to do with it. Even if you did, it's only 11 days. How can it be?
The 12th to the 30th?
Yeah.
That's only 11 days?
No, I'm just saying. The Julian to the Gregorian and all that stuff.
Oh,
that was
only 11 days.
So it's not the old style calendar.
Gotcha.
Maybe the bitch just took a long time to die.
Oh, that's harsh.
Marrying her brothers.
Well, you know.
Both two of them, you know.
You know.
Age cannot wither her, nor custom stale.
Has there ever really been a good...
Let me finish the quote. Age cannot wither her, nor custom stale her infinite variety. Other women cloy the appetites they feed. She makes hungry where most she satisfies. Antony and Cleopatra.
Wow.
Yes. Anyway, so we're gonna
like Slim Pickens said in Blazing Saddles. You talk purtier than $20 whore.
Shoot. Felt like a pretty good weekend in Vegas with all that stuff. All right, so anyway, Discovery we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking also
that
about...
That was Cook's ship, as I said.
Yeah, it was Cook's ship.
Endeavor,
and then I brought up, how do they name the shuttles?
Endeavor was
space
also
shuttles.
Was also Cook's ship.
Oh, no
That's
kidding.
That's what you asked. Yeah,
okay.
So we had two ships.
Very. And Atlantis is just
actually,
Atlantis.
Henry Hudson had a ship called the Discovery, too. I thought he was a half moon, but...
Well, that's why you have Half Moon Bay, right?
I guess.
Is that even Hudson related? Or
Maybe, I guess.
You ever been out to Half Moon Bay?
No, where is it?
It's south of San Francisco Bay.
Well, I don't think he made it all the way out.
I think north of Monterey.
Oh, okay, no.
But he didn't make it that
Henry
far.
Hudson.
Okay.
Yeah. He may have because they cut him adrift. Who knows where the hell he ended up?
Poor Henry.
I don't think they ever found him or his son.
Well, they will. Hey, look. With your global warming going on, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to get found out of the ice.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to get real interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be ice-free year-round.
No, I didn't say that. Just said...
That's what Al Gore says.
Oh, well, come on.
Have you seen his movie yet?
No, I'm not seeing...
Come on.
No, why?
Come on, Al needs the money.
No, he doesn't. He's fine.
I heard it's a real corker.
Anyway. There's a plot twist at the end.
Oh, I think, yeah, we survived. Denouement. It's all bullshit. Then I'd go see it. Raymond Massey died on the same day as David Niven, not Douglas Fairbanks.
Oh, I knew it was so that got overshadowed.
I knew it was one of his co-stars, because they co-starred in, as I was talking about, The Prisoner of Zenda they made together. So they died on the same day. I believe it was in 83. And he played Citizen Chauvelin in The Scarlet Pimpernel. I couldn't think of the character's name.
That's a movie, I think.
Fumbling with his cravat.
Should be remade.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know they've done it.
Have you read the book?
Yes.
Baroness Orksey.
Orksey.
Yeah, what a name.
That's a good name.
Blaze Starr was Earl Long's...
The brother of Huey.
Earl Long's babe.
Yes.
And Candy Barr, who I was thinking was Mickey Cohen's babe.
Oh.
And Jack Ruby's.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's a Texas gal.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Was she a Carousel Club dancer?
I think, well, but I don't know. Mickey Cohen, he was an interesting guy. We got to do a whole show on him sometime.
You could? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Played by Harvey Keitel in the movie Bugsy.
Bugsy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the events of August 31st, don't forget, you can like our page at Facebook.
You can love our page.
Love
too,
it.
Right?
Well,
somebody
you can.
Loved it.
Well, there's a gentleman by the name of T.J. Childers, I believe, who really loves you.
T.J. is a very omniscient, prescient man.
So anyway, Facebook.com/...
Unparalleled taste.
Facebook.com/ This Day in History Podcast. And, of course, subscribe.
Yeah, Alan Wilmot's a friend of mine, too. He's a big fan of the show.
Through
pretty sharp trivia guy.
Yeah, very good. Through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, you can subscribe to the show. Now to August the 31st. I got to tell you, I don't like the history today so much.
I think you're just in a rush. That's
no,
all.
No.
You're doing your usual slovenly, slipshod, insouciant job.
There's some good birthdays.
All right, well.
I start in 1422.
You got a death to begin with.
How would you like to die of dysentery in 1422?
No, it's a very nasty death.
How would you like to
die
of
dysentery? King Henry V and die of dysentery.
How would you like to die of dysentery in France?
Well, I don't know. You know, Catherine of Valois, his wife, was actually a pretty good-looking dish.
So okay. So it's not bad. The worst way to go.
So he probably threw up and shit all over before he died.
Oh, no.
So anyway, but his son, Henry VI, was kind of a piece of shit. He was a lousy...
But was he really a piece of shit at 9 months old when he becomes king of England?
No, he had regents and all that stuff, and there's no excuse because he was brought up, but the guy's just a coward and had terrible judgment. But...
Couldn't they disguise old Henry V... Give him something better to die of than dysentery? Sometimes you got to take history into your own hands, Armand. And you can't say that.
I don't know if it was amoebic, bacterial, viral. You know,
how did the king die? He died on his steed leading an army.
Usually they don't. Well, that's how Louis IX died, too, dysentery.
Damn.
But Henry V, apparently he wasn't the wastrel as depicted by Shakespeare, if you read Henry V. Well, Henry the Fourth.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. How much did Shakespeare...
He took some liberties.
But how much?
It's actually a war. I mean, he fought Owen Glenour. He fought the Hotspur. He fought big time for Henry IV.
But how much did Shakespeare himself sort of shift the narrative on Henry V here that we 500 years later would, you have to put a disclaimer out about him like you just did?
Well, no. As depicted in Henry V, that play, he was a warrior and all that. And we band of brothers. And once more into the breach, dear friends, once more. And all that, a little bit of Harry in the Night, St. Crispin's Day. That stuff apparently was pretty close, I guess, although he's giving some poetic license.
Well, sure, he's got to sell tickets.
But he's depicted in Henry IV as this wastrel. He and Falstaff and Pistol and those guys are all screwing around and getting drunk, and that's not the way he was, actually.
Why did Shakespeare do that, though?
Named Olstead, I think, that Falstaff was named Sir John Olstead. Well, it makes for better.
Just to sell tickets.
You're pandering to the groundlings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have fun.
Look, at the end of the day, it's all about putting butts in the seats.
Yeah.
No matter what year it is.
Who wants to see a sober? You can do the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Nothing.
See what kind of audience you get.
No, I have three people there. They'll all be nuns.
Oh, that'd be cool. And a mule? I got a film like that. I got a Super 8 film.
Two mules for Sister Sarah.
No.
Oh, there's a different one?
No, this is Sister Sarah.
No, stop.
Her buddy
stop.
And a mule. Mm-mm. Little Super 8, man.
Nope.
Well spliced.
Did the mule have a black bar over its eyes?
I remember what they... I think they had the blinders on him,
All right.
Settle him down. That's an old film.
God's sake.
All right. Yeah. Well, don't get pious on me. You don't care.
Speaking of a heathen.
Heathen.
Speaking of a heathen.
Oh, okay.
Talk about a segue on
this guy.
William T. Sherman, August 31st, 1864, decides, you know what? Atlanta's got to burn.
Yeah, sure. And let's treat those black people real nice, too. Have you heard the stories about what his men did to the slaves? Yeah,
I'm raped, pillaged, killed. I got to say,
this was a noble crusade.
This is a
to
stain.
Free the slaves.
No, this is a stain. Okay, we all know it. Just call it
Sheridan?
What it is.
Don't forget Sheridan in the Shenandoah Valley.
This is a stain on. Look, I know the strategic value of cutting supply lines and burning a path to the sea. We probably get that.
Yes,
it can be justified to some degree. What you just mentioned, though.
This in Dresden.
Cannot be.
The firebombing of Tokyo and all those.
It cannot be justified.
Right.
So I would like to see, since everybody's in an uproar about monuments, look, if someone wants to take a William Sherman monument down, I'm not opposed.
Oh, okay.
Armand, if he's on the losing side, he's a war criminal.
I see.
If you're on the winning side, you're a war hero.
I say leave them all up.
But play it both ways, correct?
Apparently not. If you're going to start taking them all down, you got to get Wilson, you got to get Lincoln, you got to get FDR for what he did, and people are already clamoring for that, for what he did to the Japanese. I mean, it never ends.
Interred them. Put them in internment camps.
Well, see, it never ends. People, by definition, are not all good or all bad. We have our weaknesses.
No,
we have
it's the duality of man. Oh. It's the Jungian thing.
Ooh.
It's the Jungian thing, sir.
Well, no, it's not. If you read Hegel, we're all bad.
I'm quoting Full Metal Jacket.
Well, of course. I didn't think you read philosophy. But if you read Hegel, we're all shit.
It's the Jungian thing, sir.
Jungian. It should be pronounced.
Don't you love your country, soldier?
Oh, yeah. Kiss my ass or whatever. Yeah. I get peace and then...
What is that? Some kind of sick joke?
Yeah.
You have kill written on your helmet and a peace pin. That might be Matthew Modine's best scene ever.
I got to put a donut in my Foot Locker tonight. Maybe the sergeant won't find it. Sergeant
Pye. What a career that guy has gone on to have.
Great.
Oh, man. Vincent D'Onofrio.
He had to put He was actually a thin guy. He put on like 60 pounds for that role.
Not easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we went from William T. Sherman to Vincent D'Onofrio. That's a pretty good segue.
Well.
Now to this.
War is hell.
1888. This is what they believe to be the first.
But not last.
Not last. The lady's name is Marianne Nichols. She is found murdered, and this is the...
Have they done a surreal talk on Jack the Ripper?
I don't think so. I'm going to go to Everett with a whole bunch of suggestions out of today's show from us of what will make great surreal talks. But she is believed to be the first of Jack the Ripper's confirmed victims. I say the first because there is great conjecture now as to Jack the Ripper even being English. And if you've watched
Prince of Wales, remember?
If you've watched
read that book about that.
Okay, you
there's
can. And it's interesting. And there's thousands of books. Well, I don't know about thousands.
I'd rather read about the guy, you know, what's the doctor, the guy, the Columbia.
H.L. Holmes.
Holmes, yeah. He was interesting.
Again.
He had imagination.
I'm going to stress to you, watch on the History Channel, American Ripper. As his great-grandson tries to put the pieces together to see if there is a connection between H.L. Holmes, Devil in the White City,
right.
Columbia Expedition, the Murder Castle in Chicago.
Exposition.
Didn't
they have a special on Holmes and Jack the Ripper as shot by Ford, that coward?
No.
There's none of them?
No.
Am I thinking of something else?
No, you are thinking of something else.
Or is that Billy the Kid was shot by the coward?
No, he was. You don't even know if Billy was shot. Pat Garrett, that might have all been staged. Another surreal talk. Jeez. Everett and Aaron Hicks better send us some love. We got all sorts of ideas for surreal talk. I'm just trying to do history. We get all these conspiracies here. It's amazing. You could do a whole show on the Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid thing. That was all staged. Mm-hmm. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Watch American Ripper on the History Channel, Armand.
Right.
I've implored you several times.
I don't have time.
Yes, you do.
I was listening to Caruso today on YouTube.
Yeah, you
guys got a nice voice.
He does have a nice voice. I'll give you that. But we can expand our horizons and watch some new stuff. Just because it came
what
out.
What is that? Some kind of documentary?
American Ripper?
Yeah. I read a couple books on Holmes.
I don't know if that's who it was. If you call it a documentary, it's a criminal investigation trying to get any real evidence that Holmes could have been Jack the Ripper.
Oh.
Now, everything they have is circumstantial, and it looks compelling, as circumstantial evidence often does. But there's no real solid, definitive...
There's
no smoking gun yet.
Hence circumstantial.
Right. And again, this happened over 120 years ago. So I don't know how much real evidence you're going to get.
Yeah, in the Whitechapel district. I assume this gal was a prostitute.
I think all of the murders, and again, these, you know, some of these ladies were completely disemboweled, uteruses removed.
Uteri,
one. They don't get right.
Uteri is plural.
Yeah, yeah. The uterus was removed.
Okay. Maybe she was a surgeon.
Lest she have two of them. Well, that's the speculation that Jack had.
Remember that Star Trek episode?
Degree of medical skill.
With Jack the Ripper. John Fiedler was Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Scotty? They thought Scotty was chopping up all those girls.
Scotty wouldn't do that.
No, Stennis not known, Cotton.
Yeah, Scotty would not.
He couldn't. He had a finger missing.
Oh, please.
He did.
I know.
D-Day.
I know he did.
Yeah, well.
Just get the hyperdrive working. Get the warp speed thing going, Scotty.
I'm giving her all she's got, Captain.
All right. All 1895, right. A German count.
Yeah.
By the name of Ferdinand von Zeppelin.
I think I know where this is going.
Patents his navigable balloon and also gives name to one of the greatest rock and roll bands in history.
I don't think that was him. Who gave him that name? Was it the Beatles or something?
No, I thought it was Plant and Page.
No, because somebody says, what do you think about our bands? Are you guys going to go over like a Led Zeppelin?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I'm going to take a guess here. This is a trivia question. It was one of the Beatles, I think. Was it Harrison? That's when they came up with the name. They didn't have it. How do you think our band's going to do? And they said, you'll go over like a Led Zeppelin. They said, aha. But anyway.
You are going to kick yourself.
God damn it. I should know this.
As to who
is it Townsend or one of the Who? Yeah. Townsend? Daltrey? Moon? Yeah, who else?
I am on rollingstone.com.
Damn it, I knew that.
And the backstory on this, in May 1966, Moon and the bassist, Entwistle. Recorded an instrumental called Beck's Bolero with Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and Jeff Beck.
Oh, Jeff Beck. Wow.
Great guitarist. Yeah. That just often gets overlooked.
Well, they were in the Yardbirds together.
That's right. You know, I hate pop-up ads. The track came out. They tossed around the idea of forming a new band. Moon allegedly said the band would go over like a lead balloon.
Really?
Jimmy Page, remembering this,
yeah,
joked 2 years later when he created Led Zeppelin. The accounts, of course, differ. John Entwistle claimed it was he, not Moon, who made the lead balloon crack, but history seems to favor Moon. Of course it does, because Moon's a lunatic. In a good way. We mean that in the nicest possible way.
No, we don't. He was nuts.
No, I mean, but if you're going to be nuts with a guy, Keith Moon would be a great guy to be nuts with.
I don't
think so.
Well, we've gone over that Flint, Michigan birthday party. The seminal
the great
rock and roll
Keith
hotel.
Moon quote, I was sitting at the bottom of a pool in a Lincoln Continental when it suddenly dawned on me that I had to wait for the pressure inside the car to be equal to the pressure outside the car so I could open the door. See, Keith Moon even knew physics, Armand.
Cannot change the laws of physics.
That's Ferdinand von Zeppelin, which leads to a rather big company, by the way.
Oh yeah, I think that'll bring it back. It's a hell of a
I'd
way to
love
travel.
To travel by Zeppelin. I'm not kidding you, Armand. I'm not making this up. I would love to travel by Zeppelin. I think it would be remarkable. Be up there in the air. Now the problem is you're not quite higher than the weather, though. Or can you get above the weather in a Zeppelin?
I don't know.
I don't want to be tossed around too much, but yeah. 1897, kinetoscope, first movie projector, patent goes to Thomas Edison. Who else?
Yeah.
Did he steal that one too?
Yeah, probably not. I think that was.
He got that one. Here's one I have an interest in. First radio news program. 8MK.
Fake news? Was it fake news?
I hope not. Hope they had the decency to report real news.
What year was it? 1920? Yeah, they probably reported on, would it have been August 1920? Yeah, Woodrow Wilson's in a coma. They probably, probably talking about Edith Galt Wilson running the clinic, the country.
So the station, 8MK, which is WWJ 950 AM, Detroit, Michigan. Today it's owned by CBS. But I'm trying to find the original, because these early radio stations are absolutely fascinating. It debuted as Detroit News Radiophone.
Okay.
In 1920. Came on the air August 20th, so the first news program came a couple days later.
All right.
You probably wouldn't have been listening.
You have more of an interest in, I'd rather read.
You'd rather read.
But I listen to the ball game when it comes on.
Well, that's nice of you. Listen to the ball game. All right. And then one more before we do some birthdays, because this was a big date. Because you know what tomorrow is, September 1st. You know what happens tomorrow. Speaking of radio. Well, hold on. One more before.
I don't know what this is. Well, it's pretty early for a Neutrality Act.
The United States does indeed pass a Neutrality Act on August 31st, 1935. in an attempt to stay out of the growing turmoil in Europe. Now, at this point, what the turmoil is political.
Yeah,
it's not
turmoil?
Military.
No turmoil in Europe.
The Spanish Civil War has not even really kicked off.
So, not yet.
It doesn't really kick off till 36, am I right?
Well, 35, yeah, but I don't even
now,
know.
Yes, there's,
late 35.
There's rumblings.
I guess.
But the Sudetenland is still 2 years away from being rolled through.
Yeah.
Poland is still 4 years away from being
FDR
invaded.
Is using Mussolini's fascism as his New Deal platform.
So here, we're going neutral. And you know me,
right.
I don't believe in neutrality.
Neither did FDR.
No. No, he didn't. Come on. You and I have differed on FDR. But let's face
it. At this point, he did because he thought his stupid ideas would work.
Did he?
It was only 37, 38 when they started not to work. Well, let's see. Now, how can I do
something? What could really get us out of a depression?
Yeah, a war. That's a good idea. See to it, Mr. Hopkins.
So that's the U.S. Neutrality Act.
This is earlier. I don't know about this one.
That had to drive the British and the French crazy.
Yeah, they're not fighting anybody. I haven't signed that. They haven't signed the treaty with the Polish people.
Well, that only comes 7 days before the war.
Yeah, I know.
So, how would you like to do that? That's like buying insurance before a tornado.
We already talked about that. We already talked about it, yeah. Then declare war on the Russians, too. They don't want to do that.
So, on the 31st of August, 1939, the Germans know what they want to do.
Yeah, well,
and
here's their
Gulf of Tonkin strategy.
Yeah.
Or I should say the U.S. used a Gleiwitz radio strategy.
This is their...
they mount a false...
United Fruit Company attack.
Yes. They mount a false flag attack on the Gleiwitz radio station, which has the effect of doing this. It creates the...
They made a movie about this.
It should be. This would be good. This creates the backdrop, the excuse, the justification...
As if they needed it.
...to attack Poland the following day, and this is officially... the beginning of World War II, September 1st.
Well, I guess. That's tradition. I guess
that's
the
third
when the rest of them come in.
Right. But, everyone else comes in on the 3rd, but the activity that spawns it, September the 1st, which is, of course, tomorrow. And on this date, the Germans do their false flag attack
they
on
killed Poland. A guy and shot him and everything and laid him there. And the Polish people did it.
They did it. The operation... in Upper Silesia?
Silesia.
Silesia. And, you know, the goal, they're going to stage this attack.
Yeah,
and provocation.
I'm surprised they didn't do that with the Russians, too. Take out another antenna or something.
But, it's an SS operation.
The Abwehr, military intelligence, I believe, did it. Somebody had to write a book about this. That'd be interesting.
Okay, so, here's your potential book. Almost everything that's known about this comes from one source, Alfred Najocks, Naujocks.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't come out until
I think it's Nauhawks.
Nauhawks?
Well,
it doesn't.
J in German.
It doesn't come out until the Nuremberg trials.
He had something to do with it, right? I mean, wasn't he the mastermind or something?
In his testimony, he states that he himself organized the incident under orders from Reinhard Heydrich and Heinrich Müller, chief of the Gestapo. So now, of course, you could say that was a coerced confession because he had a deal or something, but all the background we know, by the way, it was also called Operation Himmler.
That's a misnomer.
A name. So there you have it. All right, birthdays. We're halfway through the events. We only have a couple more events. Two of them are, one of them's big. The other, I love.
The other one's more for surreal talk.
It's more for surreal talk, yes. Happy birthday, Caligula. Oh, little Caligula. Well, born on this date in CE 12
Germany, in modern day Germany. I think it was with his dad, Germanicus.
Yeah, there up there on the front.
Yeah, little boots.
Yep.
Anyway, he wasn't a bad guy until I think here again.
Okay, where did it go wrong?
Well, he got sick. He got some kind of fever or something.
Completely fried his brain.
Yeah, he lost. He went crazy, and boy did he. Consult the Bob Guccione Caligula. Maybe I ought to watch that this afternoon just to
lighten up the day.
Yeah, brush up on my Caligula.
I told you, Helen Mirren's in that.
Helen Mirren, watch her strip down. And then I can make a double header because Commodus in 161, then I can watch...
Watch Gladiator.
No, I watched Fall of the Roman Empire with Christopher Plummer was Commodus.
Christopher Plummer did it.
Yeah, he was Commodus. And Stephen Boyd and Sophia Loren, James Mason. They had a hell of a cast, man, that movie. It's on our site. I had E post it. fall of the Roman Empire.
He's assassinated, too. Oh,
yeah, man. Wrestler choked him out. He fancied himself a gladiator. That wasn't that easy.
No, he did.
He supposedly could hit, like, you know, he killed, like, like 100 lions in a day or something.
He shot hundreds of animals with arrows, arrows and javelins, reportedly, every morning. Every morning!
Well,
come on.
It's better than taking a naked dip in the Potomac like John Adams did every morning.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'd rather shoot an ostrich.
No.
They got a little mad at him, though, when he killed a giraffe. That was going too far.
That's
just an awkward animal.
Just stupid.
Can you imagine in this day and age, that poor dentist, he killed that lion?
Coffin for a giraffe looks like?
I'm sure they chopped him up.
Oh, no.
Anyway, remember Cecil the Lion?
Yes.
I wonder if that dentist is still in practice. That guy, man.
How do you fall on that? I know hunting is a necessity.
Well, see, tear down all the statues of Teddy Roosevelt. How many animals did he kill?
I just said I know hunting is a necessity. Yeah,
it isn't. Going on safari and killing rhinos.
He
and
killed a lot.
Mounting their heads is
he
not
killed
necessity.
A lot.
Yeah. So that's next. Get rid of him, too.
Hope you get a statue.
I'd like to blow his head off of
a statue that gets taken down someday. 1870.
Just be pissed and shat upon.
Maria Montessori, the Italian physician.
I got.
You got something before 1870?
Hermann von Helmholtz, 1821.
Hermann von Helmholtz?
Yeah. The guy, you know, the guy that looks in your eye with the ophthalmoscope?
Yes.
He invented it.
Oh, very good.
And he's a psychologist.
And that's to look deep into your
retina and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he apparently did one hell of a physicist. Worked on the Helmholtz equation, which is a wave equation.
Did he discover like how the rays and cones in your eyes?
No, rods and cones.
Rods and cones
light?
Or
okay. No. But the guy was pretty sharp. Let's give him that much.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Yes, Miss Montessori, Maria Montessori, born.
If you want to spend a lot of money.
1870.
Send your kid to a Montessori
school. I think you would have done well in Montessori school.
They would have hated me.
No, you're Armand.
I was a brat. A brat.
That's okay.
A B-R-A-T.
I think that's okay. You're free to pursue, you know, what you want to work on.
Well, then I'd have taken a nap.
You may have. Yeah. And then when you were, you know, very inquisitive, you had to be an inquisitive young kid.
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Huh. What'd you do? Just play with, play with a ball and a string all day?
What?
You had the cup?
A tire and a stick.
You had a tire and a stick. Oh, that's good. All right. 1924.
1908. William Saroyan.
Yeah, I know. I saw this.
Yeah, well, a human comedy and Time of Your Life. Pretty good. Well, the human comedy is a great movie, by the way.
And what year did that come out?
43.
Again, yeah.
He actually wrote the movie, and he wanted to direct it. So they said, listen, we can't make you a director until you direct. So he directs this short. It was so horrible. I think Mayer said, you're not directing this movie, dipshit.
I love this.
And so anyway, he goes and goes, all right, I'll show you. He writes the novel based on his script, which actually did really well.
That's
but it's
good.
A good movie.
That's how long would it take me to show you all the great films past 1980?
There are none.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd take you about 1 hour.
All right.
There are zip.
There's
some good ones.
There's a lot of good ones.
All right.
Here's a legend. Oh, God bless him. He's passed. I would have loved to have seen him in Vegas. Armand, 1924. Happy birthday, Buddy Hackett.
There's plenty of him on YouTube.
I know, but I want to see him live. I missed Hackett and I missed Rickles, and I'm literally broken up about it.
Well, watch It's a Mad, Mad World.
Yeah, I can.
He's Benji Benjamin. He's holding on. Remember Mickey Rooney? He's got the wheel. Who's flying the plane? Nobody's flying a plane. Buddy Hackett's got the wheel in his
where he got that energy.
Jim Backus.
Oh, God.
He's great.
Oh, yeah, I would have loved to see him.
I don't want the money.
1928, happy birthday, James Coburn.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, he was slick, man.
James Coburn.
He was slick.
Every town's got a bar. In that bar, there's a guy who thinks he's tougher than a nickel steak. Buddy, yes, James Coburn.
1935.
Yeah, won the Academy Award for Affliction, I believe. Best
no
Supporting
kidding.
Act. Yeah, 2008, I think, right toward the end of his career.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like
no, 1998. He died in 2002. But, he was our man Flint. And,
yes.
And he was...
he's also in the wonderful Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, wonderful.
Matter of fact, he was one of the few redeeming qualities of that movie.
I think that was irredeemable. But he was, you know, he was also in The Magnificent Seven. What was it? What was he? It wasn't Lee. Let's see. What was his name? Was he Vin? I think it was Vin, wasn't he? Remember he had that fight with that guy? The guy drew a gun and he had a knife?
Yes.
He lost. I do it for real. Yeah, I think it was Vin. You don't have to prove anything to anybody except to myself. And that was, I think Robert Vaughn had that line. I think Robert Vaughn was the last one. He's the last one to die last year. What was it? He's Vin, right? Lee, Vin.
I know you're right, but I'm just trying to confirm for you.
Chris.
Sometimes in the studio, the internet moves a little. No, Steve McQueen is Vin.
Oh, Vin. Okay, well then, who would you have been? Chris, Vin, Harry.
Man, that's one of the rare times.
Oh, is it Chico? No, Chico was Horse Buckholz.
You're not going to get it.
What did it start with?
Britt.
Oh, Britt. Shit.
I wouldn't have gotten it either, so don't feel bad.
I feel bad.
Now, that Horse Buckholz.
Yeah.
That's an odd fella. Because he was hot for what? About 3 years?
He was? I don't remember.
Well, he got that. Remember he's in, is it Berlin 1-2-3 or 1-2-3?
Oh, yeah. 1-2-3 with James Cagney.
Which is.
It was all right. That's funny.
Pretty funny movie.
Billy Wilder.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was definitely, you know, the good-looking fella type, but...
He's okay. And that movie's all right.
You could tell. He was probably a little haywire. I mean that in a nice way, too. 1935, Frank Robinson, baseball great.
Yeah, I think he was... Wasn't he the first guy to be MVP in both leagues?
Both leagues.
Yeah. That's his trivia question.
At one point, he had homered in the most major league parks because he played in an era where it went from old stadiums to new stadiums, and he had played in both leagues.
Well,
so Frank Robinson had hit a home run everywhere, which is a really cool stat when you think about it.
Yeah.
1941, William DeWitt Jr., the American businessman, bat boy for the St. Louis Browns, owner today of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Ah, the bat boy of yesteryear is the owner of today.
Mm-hmm. 1945, I'm going to say something that's very unpopular. The writer of one of the most overrated songs of all time.
What? Brown-skinned girl?
Brown-eyed girl.
Yes.
Van Morrison.
Originally brown-skinned girl.
Brown-skinned girl, and they changed it.
That'd be too controversial.
Have some guts.
I don't really, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I like Moondance.
I'm sorry. That's overrated. Nice. I think, look, he's a good artist. I hate it when the people just hear that, you know, they all go crazy. Oh, I love Van Morrison. Really? Do you?
Very interesting foibles.
Name 10 other songs.
Moondance is all I can think of.
Born on the same date as Van Morrison, though. Here's a guy.
A true artist.
Here's a real, I'm right here with you. Itzhak Perlman, the incredible violinist and conductor.
But not a good sprinter.
No?
No, he's got cerebral palsy.
Oh, he does? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I could beat him in a race. I'll tell you that. But yeah, he's a great violinist.
You ever seen him in concert or
no,
anything?
No, but no? I mean, he's on YouTube. You can see all that on YouTube.
Your life is on YouTube, isn't it?
That's right. What do you need anything for now?
You just sit in that office and watch YouTube.
Yes, and touch myself.
Oh, God. 1949?
That's why the door's locked.
Now, here's one.
I'm like Robert De Niro in with a casino. You guys, I got to put my pants on when you guys come to...
One of the greatest scenes. To go over and put the slacks on.
Yeah.
And he still has the shoes on.
This guy even got a gaming license. We're going to have to kick a kike out of Vegas or something.
Could you kindly look at it?
Without getting your shorts all in a knot.
You're right. He is as useless as tits on a boar.
Right. Bull. A bull. Tits on a bull. Yeah, that was great.
But if you could see your way, I'd sure look at it.
That was pretty stupid, though. Put the guy in the kitchen or something. Get
horribly stupid.
Yeah, I
mean, matter of fact, it's one of the plot things in Casino that almost brings the whole movie down.
You know what? That's the whole thing. That's the beginning of his downfall.
How the hell did we get on Casino from Itzhak Perlman?
I don't know. No, we're talking about me touching myself.
Oh, but,
anyway, you know what he should have done? Just pay the guy not to come. Yeah,
give him a no-show job.
Like Groucho, how much you get? You know, how much do you make to play? $8 a day. How much not to play? $9 a day. Well, give the guy a raise if he doesn't show up.
On, you missed. How much to play an hour? That's this one. How much to play a half hour? And the price goes up. How much to not play? Oh, you can't afford this.
No. How much to rehearse? Now for rehearsing, we get special $12 an hour. How about not rehearsing? You couldn't afford it.
Because
if we don't rehearse, we don't play. And that runs into money.
That runs into money.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I said. Here, I'll give you a raise. Just get the hell out of here.
You're exactly right.
So anyway, it makes you wonder if even that was just contrived by the...
It's a plot hole. I'm serious. Anyway. Speaking of... Oh, boy. I got to be careful. This could be a...
Now, don't bring up the hamsters.
You brought it up. I didn't bring it up. You just brought it up.
That's an urbane legend, but I don't know.
How would you like to have to be this man and live with this?
Right,
and now now everyone knows who we're talking about.
He doesn't care. He's a Buddhist. What does he care?
He'll just meditate on
it. Yeah, he didn't give a shit. Yeah, right.
Happy birthday, Richard Gere. I think he's a great actor.
Well, I don't know if he's that good.
I think he's good. I think he's good. He's a pretty good dancer.
Remember Chicago?
Well,
he did a little shuffle there.
He wasn't, but you know, he's in Cotton Club.
He's Officer and a Gentleman was good.
Officer and a Gentleman is fabulous.
I did that scene with a stripper.
Mayonnaise.
In my acting class. Yeah, mayonnaise. But that was a pretty phony fight he had with Lou Gossett. Lou Gossett would have killed him.
Okay, it is a phony fight. But you got to admit, as far as acting goes, the scene where Gossett and Gere, and Gossett's just
I got no place else to go.
That's it. I
wonder how many push-ups he had to do to get that scene right.
That scene to me seems so true. Because I remember, I'm pretty young when I first saw Officer and Gentleman, probably 12. Okay? I forget what year it came out.
Snuck in. 79, I think.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, damn, that's really, like, that seemed real.
I like the scene. I thought my favorite scene was the scene where he pulled his buddy down and was hanging.
Oh God, brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and then they mush it all up for the women at the end.
Yeah, the happy ending. Nah, I don't like that.
Take her out of a factory.
Right. I know he should have thrown her into the shredder.
No, he shouldn't have done that. But come on,
I'm writing the ending.
The foreman's gonna come.
He takes her up in his plane and they crash.
The foreman's gonna come down and at least go, "What the hell are you doing? You're ruining my whole line here."
All right. Well, at least do it like Animal House. They were married in 79, divorced 83.
Senator Bluthouse. So anyway, I think Surreal Talk should do a whole episode on Gere though.
I don't think it's that surreal.
Do you know what that's called?
There is a name for it. Some sort of erotic.
Felging?
Oh, yeah.
Is it felging?
Wow.
Someone help us with that.
I think there is a term for it.
I'm dare not going to type that into the computer.
I don't know if
filching?
I want to look it up.
Felching?
No, I think there is a name for it.
Felching. I think it's felching.
Now, they have to declaw the thing, right? And all this, right? They take its claws off and its snout or its teeth or something.
I'm going to go for it.
Is that felching. Really done? Him aside,
yes.
They do that. Wow. That's
Urban Dictionary.
The Reverend Felcher?
Nope, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not felching.
It's not a dirty Sanchez.
No.
Okay, let's give the guy a break. Let's just say
Here's a fun site: 5 facts about the Richard Gere urban legend.
Oh, jeez.
It's amazing. Oh, this is what
facts.
This
about
is
a
what the internet was intended for.
Yeah. How many of our listeners do you think knew exactly who we were talking about just when
the
I brought
moment
that up?
You said hamster, 99% of our listeners knew.
I know TJ knew.
What you were talking
about. He's pretty
sharp.
Alan Wilmot knew. Cliff knew. Cliff Greenbaum knew.
All right. On to 1955. Happy birthday, Edwin Moses. Great Olympian, 1984. The incredible hurdler. This guy never lost.
Yeah, well.
He was he got overshadowed by Carl Lewis. But he was one. To me, he was one of the great stories of the 84 games. Guy was terrific.
I don't count those.
Why not? Because Russia wasn't there?
Yeah, nobody was there.
Like
I don't count 80 either.
Like anybody was going to beat him.
Doesn't matter. It's still no good.
Okay. We'll get the slow white Russian on the track so Edwin can just blow by him. That make you feel better?
Doesn't matter. Don't count.
And finally, one just from me, one of my favorite NFL players. I've known of him since he was a kid because I would book his dad as a radio guest. And his dad would tell us, "Hey, my kid's getting pretty good at football. Then really good at football."
Who's his dad? Edmund
Larry
Fitzgerald?
Larry Fitzgerald Sr. Edmund Fitzgerald. Yeah. He's sitting at the bottom of Great Lake.
Now, that's a great song.
That is a great song. Who sings that?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Anyway, Larry Fitzgerald.
Don't write him like that anymore.
Larry Fitzgerald, happy birthday. One of the greatest guys in the NFL, honestly. All right, back to the events. I only have a couple here to wrap up.
Yeah.
1991, Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan. Yeah.
I like Kyrgyzstan.
The capital, I think, is Bishkek.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think you'll ever get there?
No.
No, I don't either.
I'll look at it on Google Maps.
Nor will I. They declared their independence from the Soviet Union on this date.
Yeah, it might be Kazakhstan. Where's Mount Communism?
I don't know.
It's the highest in so I
oh, in the former SSR?
Yes.
I thought Ararat was the highest.
No, fuck no.
No? Okay.
Mount Communism.
On this date, 1997, it's the 20th anniversary of the death of Diana, the Princess of Wales, along with Dodi Fayed.
That's in Tajikistan.
And Andre Paul in the car crash in Paris. Again,
all right, now this is, yeah.
This
we'll
is
leave
a real surreal
Eric
talk
and,
episode.
Eric and,
Eric and Everett should have added on this one. I don't believe the conspiracy here.
I think it was pilot error.
I think they were in a car crash.
Yeah.
Because they were driving very fast and alcohol was involved.
What were they in, a Rolls? What were they in?
No, I think it was a big Mercedes, a big four-door Mercedes. I don't know the type, but I think that's the model. Yeah, I think.
It's pretty screwed
and,
up,
you know, you hit a concrete pillar supporting, you know, a tunnel.
Yeah.
Those tend to be rather solid.
Yeah, there's a lot of newtons of force there.
And I think that's all, you know. I know she was working with the landmine thing, and a lot of people were upset because of the U.S. wasn't very happy about it. I remember that. But landmines
didn't
were,
that bodyguard write a book?
Yeah. Oh, they've all written a book.
Yeah, of course.
They've all profited.
I'd write a book about it, too.
In the end of the day, though, two young kids are without a mom.
Are you going to read Hillary's book?
No.
I'll bet that's real interesting.
No. I heard an audio clip of it
I
the other
too.
Day. I had to.
Yeah.
I don't know what it – part of the thing is, it for a lot of people, I don't even think it was really her politics.
No, no. It had nothing to do with her politics.
I think they hear her voice
hate her.
And they just – and the like their back spasms or something.
Totally detestable woman.
You know?
In my opinion. But, you know, that wouldn't be a bad thing to have like on – you know, like take it to the gym with me on earphone. I bet my –
Oh, you get
lips,
your blood pressure 20, up.
30%. My
sure.
lips are going
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you get, yeah.
Get some adrenaline going there.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's what happened to Diana, though.
It was an accident. What are you going to do? But there are theories.
It was also kept alive by her boyfriend's father, Muhammad Al-Fayed, who's a very important man. He owned Harrods in London.
Yeah.
He owned Fulham Football Club as well. In fact, I know a gentleman who I'm friends with who negotiated the sale of Fulham from Muhammad Al-Fayed to an American buyer, and he said, we're up in the apartment on Park Avenue, the whole thing. I said, what's it like? He goes, well, there's pictures of Dodi and Diana still sitting there on the tables.
Lest we forget.
Because, you know, that's the thing. When you can't accept what's happened, your mind goes to conspiracy. Because you try to fill, you know, look, this couldn't have possibly happened. There has to be something else.
Yeah, well,
no,
I'm reading a book about that right now.
What's that called?
I don't know.
Again, you never know the names of books you're reading.
It's on my Kindle. Wait, I'll give you my Kindle, and you can write them all down.
All right.
I think it's called Making Your Own Luck or something.
Okay. 2006, I love a great heist.
This thing's been stolen like four times.
But there's there's multiple ones of them.
Yeah, right. That's because they put them in Norwegian. This is Edvard Munch's Scream.
The Scream.
They put them in museums without any locks on the damn doors.
Yeah,
guards.
Why do you need locks?
Yeah, because those Norwegians are trustworthy.
Who wants art? So anyway, stolen back in August of 2004, recovered 2 years later on the 31st of August, 2006. Munch's The Scream. Again, I love a great heist, not because I actually want the item.
Yeah, but if you're going to heist, get a good painting, this thing. Who wants that?
Okay, if you could steal one piece of art or jewelry or whatever, what would it be?
The Hope Diamond?
Yeah, but that brings bad luck.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll take my chances.
You'll take your chance.
I'll chop it up.
Where's the Hope kept at?
I don't know. Where is it now?
I don't know. I do not know. Where? I mean,
or the Cullinan.
I've seen the crown jewels. I don't believe those are the crown jewels. I think they put out the fake stuff for the tourists to walk past. In fact,
the Smithsonian.
I'm the guy, Armand, who thinks that when you go to a museum, you aren't seeing the paintings. You're seeing reproductions.
Yeah, well,
because no one in their right mind would let a school group walk up to a $50 million Van Gogh.
They used to do that with the Da Vinci, you know, with the Mona Lisa.
Crazy. Yeah. And then what? Someone even hacked a toe off of David once. No. Put the replica out there. We get the sense of what it's like, and we'll move on.
Should have had a podiatrist reattach it.
You should have.
Yeah, but I mean, even they stole the Mona Lisa too. Remember?
But that was because it's in Marlon Brando's house in Queens from The Freshman.
Oh, that's right.
That's the real one. The fake one is what goes on the tours. Remember that scene where his daughter plays and Tony Bennett comes on?
They were even grilling Pablo Picasso about that. They thought he stole it.
Really?
Yeah. They brought him in. Nobody trusted
him.
Who'll come up again today, actually.
No, seriously, what would you steal? You would steal the Hope?
Well, the Cullinan, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know, something you get rid of.
I want to steal something from the Vatican. That seems to me like that'd be fun.
The Pope's mitre. His Zucchetto.
And it's not that I want it. I just want the thrill of the whole deal. Under the guise of I'm checking your security system for errors.
Hope for sanity.
2016, last one of the day, Dilma Rousseff.
Oh, yeah.
Impeached.
Crook.
Removed from office in Brazil.
Well, she's going to jail, I hope.
And she's probably going
Lula's
to jail.
Already in jail, and the one before her. Send her off, too.
Not doing well. So the event
the Hillary Clinton School of Politics.
The event that affects the world we live in today the most? Well, probably the false flag attack by the Nazis on the radio.
I don't think that whether they had that or not, that was going to make any
difference. Yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right. I rescind that. I think the kinetoscope.
Well, that's different.
Okay. Yeah, I think the kinetoscope had a big, big impact, and so did
Sherman's
the first
attack on Atlanta.
That had a big one as well.
Still feeling the...
Yes.
There's still some animus there.
Yeah. Well, no.
Did you see that theater's not going to run Gone with the Wind anymore?
Oh, for God's
sake. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're getting to.
Now you're pissing me off. That's hard to piss me off.
Yeah. They're going to run Birth of a Nation instead.
Oh, great.
All right. So,
all right. Who died? I only have two today, Armand.
I got a couple. 1867. 1860. Charles Baudelaire.
Charles.
We would say Charles.
How come they say Charles?
Because that's Charles.
What happened to the R?
Charles. I'm.
It's in there. Let me hear it again.
Charles Baudelaire.
Oh, there's a little R just.
Charles Baudelaire.
Just kind of laying in there. Yeah.
He wrote Fleur de Mal. You know, flowers.
Flower
of
the death.
No, flowers of evil.
Oh, Mao? Malicious evil. Okay.
I think we've talked about this guy before. I like him. I've read most of his stuff. Pretty good stuff. Pretty steamy, too.
Mm.
But my favorite quote is on marriage. Unable to suppress love, the church wanted at least to disinfect it and created marriage. great quote. Now this is
mission accomplished.
Yeah, they did, all right. And here's, you ought to know, you're a married man. So, this is the review of Fleur de Mal. Everything in it, which is not hideous, is incomprehensible, and everything one understands is putrid. That's a great review.
I want to read the book now.
Yeah, it was poems, you know. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I want to read it.
What is art? How do you think he defined it? One word.
I know it when I see it.
Prostitution.
Oh, well, that is an art.
Charles Baudelaire.
That is an art.
Okay, so anyway, I think 1963, Georges Braque.
Oh, great cubist.
Yeah,
I like his paintings.
About Picasso.
I do.
Half of these paintings, I don't know if it was Braque or Picasso did it because they were working together. And
to be honest, it could be a joint effort.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, didn't they share studio
time
in Spain there for a while?
So, yeah.
I'm a fan of cubism, so I love that stuff. Yeah. I love Juan Gris is another one I like.
Yeah, well, if you're seeing a guitar with 52 different sides or a woman with her belly open or something, that's
her nose is going one way, her eyes going the other, and her chin's going another way.
Yeah.
But we've deconstructed the woman, which Armand would probably like to.
Well, you and Pablo Neruda.
Probably like to do a lot of.
Deconstruction. Well, I just want a robot that works.
Yeah. Watch Westworld, then. You'll be,
I know.
You'll be fast.
Yeah, but their hands aren't right.
Well, they'll get there.
I don't know. Are they on the show? I'm talking about the movie.
No, the new HBO show. Why? Oh.
Are their hands okay?
Yes, they're quite fine.
I'll take it.
Yes. My two deaths, Rocky Marciano in 1969.
49-0.
And I got to say, I know Floyd is 50-0 now.
Yeah.
And I know Rocky, you can break it down, but 49-0 is still 49-0.
Yeah, but he didn't beat anybody.
And I understand the argument.
I think Mayweather's beat some tough guys, man.
He has.
I'll go with Mayweather on that one.
It would have been better if somehow Floyd could have fought Hearns, Hagler, Leonard.
Well, I don't know if he'd have beaten them, but
still,
50-0.
When you're that good defensively and when you're that damn quick, because the fight just last week, have you watched that yet, Connor?
No.
It's worth the watch, Armand. Yeah. It really is.
Was he pulling his punches? Did you read that article? There was an article about
I don't think
somebody's
he was,
claiming Connor's like tapping him and stuff.
Well,
hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, Connor was because Connor was hitting him at the end of his punches a lot. And the reason you do that is because Floyd's damn good about getting out of the way because he doesn't move his head.
I don't know why he didn't kick him.
He moves his whole body. Connor did come in, though, with the left hand.
Good.
Right,
yeah. Should have kicked him and choked him out.
I don't like when Floyd turns his back on the defensive, you know. And again, watching a defensive fighter, but Floyd is so quick. Oh, my God.
He's getting a little, what is he, 37?
He's 40.
40? Wow.
He's 50-0, and he's done.
Yeah, I think
I thought it was a great book.
Now, it's not, is it true he's given $200 million?
I don't know. I thought he was broke. I thought he had some trouble. If he gives $200 million, wonderful.
Good for him.
Wonderful. And finally, 1973.
Who's the only man to go 15 rounds with Marciano?
Dempsey?
Ezra Charles, no.
Ezra Charles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 1973, John Ford, great director. I think.
Yeah, but we've talked about him
so much. We've talked about him so much, but this is the day he passed. And
yeah.
Do yourself a favor.
I don't think a lot of people were real sad about it. Anybody that worked with him, most people thought he was a jerk.
Okay, but so, still, anyway, come on. Yeah, the movies are the movies,
four-time
man.
Academy Award winner.
The movies, I mean, where do you want them? How Green Was My Valley, Stagecoach, My Darling Clementine.
Yeah,
It just goes on and on.
He never won for a Western, by the way. He won for The Informer, and he won for How Green Was My Valley, and Grapes of Wrath, and The Quiet Man.
And The Quiet Man. Yeah, but The Searchers was not a...
I think that's an overrated movie.
Yeah, well, I think everyone...
I like The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance a lot better.
That is America. That movie, Armand, to say, what is America, show someone The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Whiskey, quick. Dead. So, you know they'll take down anything with Lee Marvin too. Though you can't watch that movie because he was named after Robert E. Lee. Did you know that? Yeah, don't watch his movies. It's offensive.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
it
it's not.
It is to me.
No, it's not. And you're not offended.
I'm offended by your offense.
I'm offended that you think you're offended.
All right, I got a couple of more.
What do you got?
We're Sally done. Rand. 19th.
Oh, I left her off the
Why
list.
Not? Why, man? Bubble Dancer? You can't leave them off. Arrested four times in a day on a 1933 World's Fair.
That's not bad.
She got her name. Cecil B. DeMille gave her a name.
Why?
Rand McNally. Well, because she was making silent movies with her.
Okay.
Rand McNally Atlas. You know, I think her real name is Helen Gould or something like that.
Yeah, that's a better choice. Helen Gould. That sounds a little artsy.
Here's a quote from her. I haven't been out of work since the day I took off my pants. I took my pants off.
That's true.
And her body paint was done by somebody we mentioned, I think, yesterday.
Oh, who?
Max Factor.
Oh, okay.
So the guy was a good
man. Did I ever tell you the story? At the Super Bowl once, I met a guy who painted nude women.
Good. That's a good gig.
No, he painted nude women.
Yeah, painted their bodies.
And then took them and pressed them against the canvas.
Oh, I got a canvas to press them against.
That's an unusual art form.
Yeah,
but
I like to rub one against my palate.
Yeah, that was his gig, and I was like,
the guy's a perv.
That's interesting.
More amazing is if he finds women to do that with.
Oh no, apparently.
If I want to do my laundry,
yeah, they were lined up to have their bodies painted and be pressed against a can. It was just odd. Then he showed us some of his work, and you're like, okay, that's not bad.
I'd rather see the process.
The process is much more interesting than the final result.
Yeah, I don't care what pigment he used.
Right, yeah.
All right.
So, okay, August in the books, August 31st.
Right. Tomorrow we go to war.
Done and dusted. Yep, we will be back with you on September 1st for, the start of World War II. You know what happens. For Armand Kachigian, and I'm Tony Hubert. For our producers, Andrew Allen, Brian Kroc, show writer Corey Smith. Don't forget, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. So when September 1st rolls around, we will be right here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.